Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. The Labor Department today says that U.S. consumer prices advanced in April at their strongest rate in nearly a year. The Consumer Price Index increased a seasonally adjusted 0.3% in April from the prior month. It was the largest gain since June of 2013. April's price gains were largely driven by increased costs for staples such as gasoline, food, and shelter. Seasonally adjusted gasoline prices rose 2.3% in April. Food prices rose 0.4% last month. That's the fourth straight monthly increase. Meat prices posted their largest gain since 2003. This morning, USDA reported export sales for the week ending May 8th. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 2.0, next year, 7.2. Corn this year, 13.5, next year, 1.9. Soybeans this year, 2.7, next year, 11.9. USDA today says that nearly one out of four American honeybee colonies died this winter. Experts say, though, that's considerably less than the previous year or the 8-year average of 30% losses. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 16,514, down 73 points. The NASDAQ 3589 is down 7. The S&P 500 1877, down 8.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the Midwest will continue to see favorable conditions, although it will be chilly across the region for a while longer. The forecast here today continues to promote 50 and 60 degree highs across the region over the next 2 to 3 days. Some warming will begin on Saturday, and as we go through the period from Saturday into Tuesday, the temperatures across the region are expected to become much more seasonable, and that will stimulate better crop development. It will also stimulate some greater amounts of drying across the region as well. The areas that need the dry and the warmth more than anywhere else continues to be in the upper parts of the Midwest, where there has been an ongoing persistent bias for wet and cool conditions. And as we move forward through these next several days, there's going to be a good opportunity for that region to dry down somewhat. But by the time we get to Sunday into Tuesday, rain and thunderstorms will be back occurring across the region from the Dakotas into parts of Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, eventually into parts of the eastern Midwest as well. The precipitation that comes up late in the week and early next week is not expected to be heavy, but it will be just enough to aggravate the whole scenario with a limited amount of field work occurring across some of those northern areas. But I do believe that there will be enough good weather over the next 2 or 3 days that field work will advance, and some producers will probably go ahead and try to be a little bit aggressive about the amount of work that they do, even though conditions may not be ideal. The forecast in the lower parts of the Midwest will probably promote a period of drying that will extend for a while. Now, that will be held off for another 2 to 3 days, perhaps, before we get aggressive with the drying trend in the south. We do have instability showers that will occur across the lower Midwest here for the next couple of days, and maybe even lingering a little bit on Saturday. The precipitation that occurs will be mostly in the afternoons. It'll be in that unstable air mass with the cool air around. The volume of precipitation that comes from the showers will be quite low, probably running a trace to maybe 0.2 inch of moisture, and not much more than that. But any precipitation on top of fields that are already a little moist is going to promote further delays in farming activity. We do anticipate, though, that drying trend to kick into the Midwest this weekend into early next week, and along with that, of course, will come with the warmer temperatures, so the scenario in the lower parts of the Midwest will become much improved. A frontal boundary is expected to move from south, or actually from north to south, across the Midwest as we go forward through the middle and latter part of next week. And that frontal boundary will likely become the trigger mechanism for showers and thunderstorms across a large part of the lower Midwest, but more importantly, across portions of the central and southern plains. The computer forecast models continue to advertise opportunity for relief to the hard red winter wheat country's dryness problems, and this would occur in the second half of next week going into the second weekend of the two-week outlook. Now, that's a long way out in the forecast, leaves plenty of time for changes in the outlook, so confidence continues to be somewhat low, especially since we've seen this advertised before and it has failed to come to fruition. So we'll continue to monitor that. The temperatures in most of the country will trend warmer as we go into next week, and we'll probably see near to above average temperatures in quite a few areas. 80-degree highs will occur in the lower Midwest during a big part of next week. We'll expect to see temperatures in the northern parts of the Midwest into the upper 60s and 70s for quite a little while. The warmer temperatures will stimulate a little faster drying rates and also better early season crop development. Frost and freezes will occur again tomorrow morning in the upper Midwest, maybe even on Saturday morning. We did see some significant freezes today in parts of the Dakotas with some damage to early emerged corn and other crops suspected. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter July wheat is 796, down 10 and a quarter. Soft July wheat, 680, down 10 and a quarter, now 10 even. July corn, 487 and a half, down 8. September, 483 and a quarter, down 7 and a half. December, 481 and three quarters, down 7 and a quarter. July soybeans, 1483 and a quarter, down 3 and a half. September, 1277 and a half, up a half. November, 1223 and a quarter, up three quarters. July soybean meal, 486, down 50 cents. July soybean oil, 4120, down 18. June live cattle, 137.42 and a half, down 2 and a half. May feeders, 186.05, up 65. June lean hogs, 119.30, down 127 and a half. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Morning to you, Dave.
There's not a lot of news out there to talk about and chew on today, is there?
No, not really. We had pretty decent corn export bookings, and this 13-crop corn sale to Mexico, especially since it's 13-crop, was maybe a little bit unexpected. The market reaction, though, has been pretty negative, and these corn's well under that support level that we had at 487. As a matter of fact, overnight we got above it, but we sure couldn't stick there.
So with the market 482 and a quarter, would we say the trend has changed at this point?
Well, the trend has changed. We've had two higher weeks in a row, and now we'll be down this week. You know, we can't get back to the 20-day moving averages, which is kind of a number the funds watch as a place to be long. That's in December corn. That's over $5, and on July at 507 and a half today. So there, you know, we're kind of in free fall for a little bit. We're in the right time frame to put some lows in this corn market. And I think the trade, the commercial side of the trade, isn't anxious to support it until we see where a bottom could be.
Turn our attention to the soybeans. It's also a choppy market, but for the most part, still moving sideways.
It's moving sideways. Trade's really looking for this NOPA crush report for the month of April. Even though the crush pace probably will be down from a really hot market in March, it's coming because crushers just can't source the supplies. But the trade estimates 126 million bushel. That's still pretty darn good for this time of year, and with bean prices up here close to $15.
What about the wheat market?
Wheat market, we're talking freezing temperatures in the Dakotas, hurting corn. I'm sure it's also studying some spring wheat that's up. Dry areas in Russia, the market's just saying we don't care. We've done some technical damage to this market with Dease corn, poised to slip back under $7 and see what's down under there, whether there'll be new selling on stops.
Turn our attention to livestock, where, man, feeder cattle are still hot.
They are hot, and I think that's a function of lower feed costs. Friday's cattle on feed report. The trade's looking for continued good demand for placing cattle in feedlots with the kind of profitable levels that we can do. So we're going to continue to see the Fed market get some support, and the feeder cattle really have outpaced everything. The CPI report, the PPI reports that have come out show a healthier economy than what we thought a couple months ago. Hog markets, on the other hand, the June's kind of struggling, but the July, August, October hogs are still looking pretty strong.
Thank you, Ellen. Ellen Dearden of AgriView in Morton, Illinois. And December corn is 482 and a quarter, down 6 3/4, and Novi beans are 1222 and a half unchanged. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.